I am so excited about this message. I'm excited about this series called The Calling. And Pastor Cam had such an incredible word last Sunday. I was sitting there taking notes, and here I am taking notes, and I said, wait a minute, his notes are up on the website. But I was sitting there taking notes, because the one thing I found out, that even though you have notes up on the website, God will speak to you while someone here is speaking to us. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. Remember, the Bible says that the voice of the Lord is that of many rivers, many waters. It's the voice of many waters. And at times in your life, he knows everything about you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what's happening with you in your life. And when he does that, while the word is coming, at times he will be speaking to your heart. And the one thing I have found out, knowing that the Holy Spirit, because I expect the Holy Spirit to speak to me. If you come to church and not expecting the Holy Spirit to give you a word concerning where, then, hello, I expect the Holy Spirit to speak to me on things that I'm dealing with in my own life. And guess what? He does every single time. That's the reason I take notes all the time. Amen? All right. So today in this series that we're doing on the calling, I want to talk to you about, this is kind of an oxymoron in what I'm getting ready to say. And it's this: stand still and go forward. Stand still and go forward. You know, so wait a minute, Pastor, how in the world do I stand still and you're telling me to go forward? Well, let's go to the Bible and find out if there's an example concerning this. And let's go to Exodus, the 14th chapter, verse 10. Amen. Shout for the word. Exodus 14, verse 10. And of course, you know this is right after the children of Israel have been delivered out of the bondage and the slavery of Egypt, the cruelty of Pharaoh. And when God brought them out, he brought them out. Man, they were healed. They were blessed. And he brought them out with great power. I mean, he literally decimated Egypt, you know, for standing against him and not obeying his word and doing what he wanted to do. Pharaoh had a stubborn heart. He hardened his heart every single time and said, I'm not going to do what God is saying to do. I'm going to do it my way. And, of course, his way led to destruction. And that's something that all of us need to understand concerning it's God's way always. Not some of the time, but always. Can you say amen? So when they left, God is the one who was directing and leading and guiding them. Okay? And so they come to a place where God has led them. In front of them is the Red Sea, which basically in the natural is an impasse. It becomes an obstacle to them of going where God is leading them. And they look up, and from behind comes Pharaoh again. Comes to attack them again. So let me say this to everybody. Once you get born again, or even if you get healed, you get delivered, you get blessings from the Lord, don't forget the devil has not given up on attacking you. He will still come back to try to bring you back into bondage, to make you think, put fear in your heart, to make you think that God is not with you or going to take care of you. So he'll always do that. Sometimes when people get healed, all of a sudden there'll be another symptom that comes and says, oh no, I thought I was healed. No, you need to attack that symptom. And you need to declare God's word. And you need to speak to it in the name of Jesus. Amen? So here's what happened to them. So in verse 10 it says, so when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So the Egyptians coming after them, Pharaoh, which represents the devil, it was not a figment of their imagination. They didn't turn around and say, I don't see an army, I don't see an army, I don't see an army. No, the army was there. It was in their sight. They saw it. They heard the chariots. They heard the horses. Everything in the natural was saying, it's over with. Man, you thought you got out. You thought you were blessed. You thought that you were going to go to the promised land, and here comes an attack. So it says, and here's the key. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in this wilderness. It is amazing that when you start going through something, that you will start attacking people, accusing people, blaming people, pointing the finger, even to God, even to the person that's bringing the word to you. It is amazing how our emotions, based upon fear, will react. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of God, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Amen? So, let me ask you this. What do you do in the moment of testing from unforeseen events that appear in your life? Because everything that happens to you in this life, especially after you've been born again, is a testing of your faith. So when you look at where we live, the atmosphere that we live in, understanding that this is not heaven. Hello. This is not heaven. We don't live in heaven. We live on the earth. Heaven is where we go after we leave the earth. Okay? So we are living in a fallen world. When you are born again by the Spirit of God, you are born again in the middle of a horrific battle. You're born again on the battlefield. And this spiritual battle that is going on, and when I say it's a spiritual battle, that's exactly what it is, the kingdom of darkness against the kingdom of light. And we must understand that God, Jesus defeated Satan for us on our behalf, but you and I still have to fight the fight of faith. We have to still stand. And when we've done all to stand, we must keep on standing as the word of God says us. So when we experience adversity and circumstances and there's tough issues in our lives and persecution comes and all of a sudden we find people hating us and not liking us, it's called the world hating us, spiritual attacks that come, listen to me, should not surprise us. Especially knowing what the Bible says concerning the last of the last days. And if you think that you're not going to go through anything, then evidently you're living on a different world. You and I have been given by God in Ephesians the 6th chapter, spiritual armor. It is his armor. If we were not going to experience attacks, tough times, issues, adversities, circumstances in our lives, then there is no purpose for us to have God's armor and given us the sword of the Spirit, which is not only a defensive weapon, but also an offensive weapon. So God tells us from Peter, the Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter the 4th chapter, verse 12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test you. That is to test the quality, of your faith. As though something strange or unusual were happening to you. Now, when something happens to us, we get caught off guard. Yes, We're going to react to it one way or the other. We're either going to react out of fear with our emotions going crazy, or we're going to react by faith. So, in John 16, 33, Jesus again tells us, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world, how many of you are living in the world? Let me see your hands. Some of you don't know. Okay, so let me just help you out. You are living in this world. This is a fallen world. And the devil, listen to me very carefully because you're going to see this in a minute. The Bible clearly tells us that the devil is the little g god of this world. So remember, the big G lives in us. The little g is running around out here, but the big G, that's where you can say, gee whiz, the big G is living on the inside of us. God himself, by the power of the Holy Spirit, lives in us. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But if the devil is the god of this world, he's stirring things up against you. I hear people say this all the time. I can't believe this has happened in me. And I say, I can. Because the devil's going to do everything he can to frustrate you. He's going to try to stop you. He's going to hinder you. He will put obstacles in your way. So Jesus says this, I've told you the things that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world you will have tribulation and distress and suffering. But be courageous. Turn to somebody next to you and say, it's time for you to be courageous. Be courageous. Be courageous. Now watch this. He said, be courageous. And he said, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished. My victory is abiding. And somebody said amen. So here's the key. Before I teach you how to go forward, you got to understand exactly what you're facing. The other day when I was praying, and I keep saying this to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm not understanding why so many of your people are living and still dominated by fear. I'm not understanding that. And the Lord just put in my heart and said this. He said, son, because their minds and their thoughts or stayed upon what's happening in the world more than it stayed upon me and my word. And that's the key. So what we're dealing here with is, first we're dealing with the spiritual realm, then we're dealing with the mental realm, and then we're dealing in the physical realm. So first I want you to understand and get, because listen, I'm just telling you what the Lord has telling me to keep. I said this to the Lord. I said, Lord, not long ago, I used these same scriptures. He said, yes, you're going to use them again. And I said, why am I going to use them again? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the moment you say, well, I've heard that stuff before, you're in trouble. The moment you get to the place going, well, I've heard this before, that tells me right there that you're not concentrating on how powerful God's word is, or that I need. You may have heard it before and you may have heard it over and over again, but the thing is, are you actually believing and acting upon it? You know, the Bible says this. Paul said, do not be ignorant of the devil's devices. Don't be ignorant of his plans. Don't be ignorant of the things that he does. And what we need today more than anything is a discernment and revelation of God's word in our lives. So in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, the Bible tells us this. So first, we're dealing with the kingdom of darkness. Everything behind things that happen to you in your life are first generated and originates in the spiritual realm. Because the devil will work, just like Pastor Cam said, the devil will work behind the scenes to stir things up. He can stir people up. He can bring circumstances. There's all kinds of ways that he can use to in this world to come against you. And most of the times what he does, because he's so successful, is that he attacks our minds with thoughts that are contrary to God's word. And if we don't understand, if we're not full of the knowledge of God's word, what did God say in Hosea 4:6 concerning his people? He said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. He didn't say the devil has destroyed them, but the devil can destroy if I don't activate and use and stand upon the knowledge of God's word, because the knowledge of God's word brings faith. And when faith comes, I must act upon it. I must take my authority. I must continue to pray. And by the way, most of the times, things do not just disappear overnight. You're going to have to fight the fight of faith. I've done this for years in my life. You must stand, and when you stand, you keep on standing, and you keep on believing. I'm not the one who controls the timetable. I'm just fighting the fight of faith. And one thing I found out in fighting the fight of faith, sometimes some things are drawn out, and the reason they're drawn out is because during that time that I'm fighting the fight of faith, the next thing, I have people coming across my path that is experiencing the same thing. And I will witness to people, and I will talk to people, and I will encourage people because of I'm fighting the same fight of faith. I'm standing in the same battle arena that they are. So he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, that's the schemings and the plans of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Okay, but pastor, it's flesh and blood that's coming against me. Okay, but what does the Bible say that is behind that attack? What's behind that is causing these people, and you're going to see this in just a minute, that is causing these people to act this way and make these decisions, to do things that could be detrimental to you in your life. So what's happening here? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. What did we do? Keep on standing. Keep on standing. And then he lists the armor. If you've never studied the armor, you need to study and you need to look at it. So what is behind the situations that we see going on in the world? If it's not peace, if it's not Jesus, it is the enemy that is causing this stuff. It is amazing how many times we get caught up in issues and get involved in things that actually it's the enemy that is originating it. It's crazy. And that's the reason today we need revelation. We need discernment. We need to be able to see what's behind issues in our society and in our culture. And we need to understand that there is a spiritual problem. That's the key. And if the spiritual problem is not handled, and handled by the church, praying and proclaiming, and if the spiritual problem that we are experiencing, if we in our own individual lives, if we do not pray, if we do not stand on the word of God, if we do not clothe ourselves with the armor, our emotions literally will shut down and burn out. And we will get so frustrated and disappointed. Listen, these folks, when Pharaoh came, they became disappointed that something like this would happen. But let me just say something to you. Every disappointment that you face is God's appointment. into something that he has prepared because he's not caught off guard for what is going on in your life. So your disappointment can be an appointment into something that you have never walked in before. So when the disappointment comes, realize that your extremities become God's opportunities. So number two, we have to deal with the world. And what is the world? The world described in the Bible is this: humanity that is not born again. Humanity that it was just like you and I one time, we were lost. And our actions and our deeds in our life was based upon our sinful nature. So humanity that is not born again. And the world influenced by the devil. Let me give you that scripture in 1 John the 5th chapter verse 19. It says this: we know for a fact that we are of God. The whole world around us lies in the power of the evil one, opposing God and his precepts. Did you see that? The whole world around us does what? Lies in the power. Now, what did we say the world was? Humanity at large that is not born again. That needs to be born again. That's the reason every single day I pray for the lost. Every day I pray, God, give us the lost. I pray that the eyes of their understanding would be open. Where God has placed us right here in this city, in this county, where he's given us, everywhere that our live streaming goes, I pray for the lost. God, give us the lost. And so the whole world around us lies in the power of the evil one, opposing God and his precepts. Do you hear that? I want to go back. I want to read this again. We know for a fact that we are of God, and the whole world around us. So when people are acting crazy, you shouldn't be caught off guard. You shouldn't be there going, why do they act like that? As born again believers, and according to the word of God, we should know exactly why they're acting like that. And when we see things going on, you know it's the principalities and the rulers of darkness and the spiritual hosts of wickedness that is behind the scenes that is causing this to take place. They put thoughts in people's minds. They stir up the sinful nature on the inside of them. And they find themselves doing things that after a while they scratch their head and go, why did I do that? And a lot of times we allow the enemy to put thoughts in our minds and to go out and do things without him showing us the consequences. And the consequences can be so destructive. So in Ephesians, the second chapter, again, why does the world act the way the world? Because I'm hearing Christians all the time, Pastor, I can't believe what I'm seeing on TV. I can't believe how people are doing this. I can't believe this and I can't believe that. You know, and I'm sitting there going, come on, yes, you can. You do know. All right, let's look again. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 2. It says, in which you once walked, the Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, you were following the ways of this world, influenced by this present age, in accordance, and the word influenced by this present age means this, being influenced by the culture. The thoughts, the philosophies, the mindsets, being influenced by that, instead of understanding and looking at everything in accordance to what God's word says. So he says, you were following the ways of this world, influenced by the present age, in accordance with the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit who is now at work in the disobedient, the unbelieving, who fight against the purposes of God. Ladies and gentlemen, when you hear all the information coming out that one of the doctors that got out, and the lady that got out from China, were declaring and saying, because the doctor worked in the lab, and he was saying, this did not come from nature. It was created. It was created. And people are sitting there going, why would somebody do that? Why are we so ignorant in the body of Christ and act like? It tells us right here. It's in the Bible. God informs us. He educates us and lets us know where this is coming from. Why would somebody create that? Well, let me ask you this. Why would the devil rebel against God in heaven? Why did you do some of the things you did before you were born again? Oh, let's don't go there. All right, so let me read this one more time. Is that okay? In which you once walked, you were following the ways of this world, and it is so sad when the church starts following the ways of the world and starts acting like the culture. When we start following the ways of the world and acting like the world and acting like the culture and embracing the mindset of the culture, then there's no hope for the culture. Because when we act like them and do the same things that they do, then Jesus is just another religion. But when they see us living differently, acting differently, talking differently, and they see the power that is there, they see the peace, they see the joy, then the emptiness that they're living in, because listen, everybody that's living in sin is living in emptiness. There is no satisfaction. There is no fulfillment. That only comes from Jesus. And so it says, in accordance to the prince power of the air, the spirit who now is at work in the disobedient, the unbelieving who fights against the purpose of God. So therefore, listen to me very carefully. So when we look at the culture, look at everything around us and all of the behavior, the conduct, the philosophies, the mindsets, all of this, where did it come from? The devil is the god of this world. The devil creates his own culture from the people that he rules and reigns in. He creates the mindsets. He creates, he can educate. He can have professors and other people teaching us that will teach us philosophies and lifestyles that are totally contrary to the Word of God. So he creates his own culture of rebellion and disobedience that dishonors God. And this created culture opposes everything that is in Jesus and his church. And the devil creates lifestyles that are contrary to God's way of life. If you haven't figured it out right now, you can read Psalms, the second chapter, and you can tell what's going on in our world today. Because ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Everything you see right now is to shut down the church of Jesus Christ. It is a fight against the church of Jesus Christ, his anointed ones, his children. It is a fight to stop us from proclaiming the gospel, singing his praises. And if you haven't figured that out right now, I pray for your eyes to be open, the eyes of your understanding to be open. This is not just about crazy stuff going on. This is about the attack upon the church of Jesus Christ, because we are the only ones that have the answer for the whole world. We're the only ones that have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And everything that is being designed is to stop us. And what is the church doing? We're cowering back in fear. We're throwing up our hands and listening to all the news media fill us full of negative stuff. Instead of filling ourselves up with the Word of God. Okay, are you ready to hear what the culture looks like that the devil has created? Are you ready for this? And by the way, I'm not a bigot. I'm not a racist. I'm not a phobic whatever. What I'm telling you is this is the truth of God's Word. And we either believe it or we don't believe it. We either embrace it and receive it or we don't. And the key to the healing of our society is nothing but the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no other answer. No political party has the answer. It's the church that has the keys to the kingdom. And if we get back in fear and quit spreading the gospel and not doing what God's called us to do, then this whole country will go to hell in a handbasket. We must get revelation. We must open our eyes and have discernment in these last days and get out of fear. Okay, so Romans, the first chapter, verse 18, verse 32. It's going to be on the screen, and I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. For God in heaven unveils his holy anger breaking forth against every form of sin, both toward ungodliness that lives in the hearts and evil actions. For the wickedness of humanity deliberately smothers the truth. How many times that you've heard any newscast preaching the gospel? Mm-mm. No, you know who has that responsibility? The church. So all the news organizations can get on TV. That's the reason we're on TV. And the Church of Jesus Christ, you'd use every single instrument, social media, everything available to us to get the word out. So if all we're doing is attacking people on social media, instead of using the word of God, instead of telling people about Jesus, instead of doing what we're supposed to be doing, then you've got caught up in the world. You've got caught up in this deception. And it is time that we shake ourselves and wake ourselves up and realize that we are the ones that have the only answer that can change a human life and change human nature. We are. We have that. And it's the Word of God. So it says, for the wickedness of humanity. Notice it says, wickedness of humanity. And by the way, tell me who's behind that. Come on, y'all talk to me this morning. Who's behind it? Who did we just read? Who's the God of this world? Okay. So, for the wickedness of humanity deliberately smothers, that means suppresses the truth and keeps people from acknowledging the truth about God. In reality, the truth of God is known instinctively, for God has embedded this knowledge inside of every human heart. He has placed eternity in the heart of every single human being. Opposition to truth cannot be excused on the basis of ignorance. Why? Because the creation of the world, the invisible qualities of God's nature, has been made visible, such as his eternal power and transcendence. He has made his wonderful attributes easily perceived, for seeing the visible makes us understand the invisible. So then that leaves anyone without excuse. So when people who reject Jesus Christ stand before God on the day of judgment, and they're standing there before him and being judged, They cannot say, I never knew you existed. Because he's going to say, did you ever see a tree? Did you ever see a bird? Did you ever look at yourself? And you think this all came because some gas burped? And out popped a salamander? You have to have more faith to believe that than look around you and believe that there is a creator. So it says, so then this leaves everyone without excuse. Throughout human history, the fingerprints of God were upon them. Yet they refused to honor him as God or even being thankful for his kindness. Instead, they entertained, notice this, entertained. Now watch this, here's the key. They entertained corrupt and foolish thoughts about what God was like. They listened and allowed people to educate them that was separate and contrary to God. This left them with nothing but misguided hearts, steeped in moral darkness. That's the reason I pray for the lost, because I was there. Every one of us were there. Thank God that people were praying for us. Although claiming to be super intelligent, they were in fact shallow fools. For only a fool would trade the unfading splendor of the immortal God to worship the fading image of other humans. And we still worship humans today. We worship NFL, NBA. Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. Isn't it amazing? God says, you don't want to worship me, and all you think about is your sports on Sunday? I'll just shut down the whole thing. Now what you going to do? I'm going to be mad, upset. Instead of understanding that this should drive us to God. And understanding it means that I need to work on my marriage. And I have the time to love my children. And do the things that I need to do to get in alignment with God's word. So he said, I know I'm meddling right now. So only a fool would trade the unfading, verse 23, unfading splendor of the immortal God to worship the fading image of other humans, idols made to look like people, animals, birds, and even creeping reptiles. It is amazing to me how many professional athletes can change a Christian's heart, and Jesus has a hard time getting them to walk and to live the way he wants them to walk and live. Because we're enamored by natural success. We're enamored by the physical abilities of how people can be and talk about. Let me ask you this. Before all this stuff happens, think about your conversation. Was your conversation more in the area of things outside of God than they were about God? Getting quiet in this denominational church. Just think about this. And when all of this was shut down, was my conversation more and my actions and conducts more out of frustration because of what I had lost in the natural realm instead of what I could have gained in the spiritual realm? That's things that sometimes we don't even think about. This is why God lifted off his restraining hand and let them have full expression of their sinful and shameful desires. They were giving over to moral depravity, dishonoring their bodies by sexual perversion among themselves. Remember, this is all due to the fallen nature and the influence of Satan and the influence of demonic spirits upon people. Okay? This is not the way God created people. This came in after the fall. This came in for the influence of the devil operating, knowing that there's lust in our flesh, and doing everything he can to bring us into a place where it literally grieves the Holy Spirit or break God, literally break God's heart. Jesus came to this earth because we were in such a mess. Jesus came to this earth because the Father wanted us back into his family. Jesus came to this earth so that you and I, and every human being, could be fulfilled and to be satisfied in our lives by one thing and one thing only, and that was Almighty God and his relationship with us. That's Jesus came to restore our relationship back to God, so that we could worship him. And the enemy's doing everything he can to take your heart away from that. He will provide everything possible in this world to distract you and to pull you away from spending any time with God or spending any time with his word, spending any time in relationship with one another. So he creates this culture. And this culture is advertised and seen everywhere. And it affects us into a place where we look at it and we see the success of people and the things that they have, and we become envious and jealous of what the world has, understanding we've got everything through Jesus. Because the world cannot give you joy. The world cannot give you peace. And all the things in the world cannot fully satisfy you. Oh, you can be temporarily satisfied for just a moment, but you're going to become bored with it and you're going to need something else. You'll not do it. It's only my relationship with God. We must get back in relationship with God. We must get back in relationship with one another, because the relationships that we have that are in the world and in the culture will eventually take us away and steal our affections and take us away from spending time with God and in his word and spending time with one another. So he says this: they were given over to moral depravity, dishonoring their bodies by sexual perversion among themselves, all because they traded the truth of God for a lie. They worship and serve the things God made rather than the God who made all things. Let me say this. Let me kind of put this in with the church. The church worshiped and served for the promises of God rather than the God who promised and blessed them. Because if all you're after is the blessings of God, you've missed the whole point of the gospel. Does God want to bless you? Absolutely. He wants to bless you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to meet every single need. But not in the place where you forsake your relationship with him. God doesn't want to feel like he's just a vending machine. That the only time you want to talk to him is when you have need of something. We're supposed to have relationship with him constantly, over and over. When you're in the car, when you're at work, you're to talk with him. You're to have relationship with him. That's what Jesus did. Jesus came to bring us back relationship. Relationship is not you just coming. Relationship is just like a marriage. We're to talk with one another. We're to enjoy one another until the day death separates us. But if all you're living for is the world, then after a while, you're going to look for a newer model just like you do for a car. Kids are going to be a burden and a thorn in the flesh instead of realizing they are a blessing to raise them and spend time for them. I don't have time for that. I've got to work. I've got to do all of these things. Well, that just tells me that you're totally out of balance. Because God wants you to have a balance. He wants you to have relationship with Him. He wants you to have relationship with your wife. He wants you to have relationship with your children. And He wants you to have relationship with one another. And He wants you to be a witness to the world. And He wants our conduct and our behavior and our words and everything that we do be a witness to the world that Jesus is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. And there is no other way. And I'm not going to allow somebody to influence me because I'm afraid that they won't accept me or they will hate me. Well, the world's going to hate you anyway if you're going to live for Jesus. If you don't want to live for Jesus, you can be like that chameleon and you can just blend in every place that you're at. Nobody will know you're a Christian. But I sure don't want to be you when you stand before Jesus. That's a dangerous place to be. So, they worshiped and served the things of God made rather than God who made all things. Glory and praises to Him for eternities. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to their own disgraceful and vile passions. Inflamed with lust for one another, men and women ignored their natural order and exchanged the normal sexual relations for homosexuality. Women engaged in lesbian conduct and men committed shameful acts with men, receiving in themselves the due penalty of their deviation. And because they thought it was worthless to embrace the true knowledge of God, what does the Bible say? God did what? God gave them over to a worthless mindset to break all the rules of proper conduct. Their sinful lives became full of every kind of evil, wicked schemes, greed, and cruelty. Their hearts overflowed with jealous cravings and with conflict and strife, which drove them into hateful arguments and murder. They are deceitful liars of hostility. They are gossips who love to spread malicious slander. With inflated egos, they hurl hateful insults at God. Did you hear then the last riot they had in Portland? Did you hear what the bonfire was all about? They burned Bibles. They took Bibles and stacked them up and burned them. Then burned the American flag. So where do you think that's coming from? Hello? 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 Come on. Where do you think that is coming from? And you know, the sad thing is the devil is using people to do all kinds of crazy stuff, making them think this is the way to get freedom. This is the way to get what we want. This is the way. No, if you want freedom, you want liberty, you want blessing, it only comes through Jesus Christ. It only comes through Jesus Christ. Because in everything else we do, there is no peace and there is no joy. There's death and destruction. It says, with inflated egos, they hurled hateful insults at God, and yet they are nothing more than arrogant boasters. They are rebels against their parents and totally immoral. They are senseless, faithless, ruthless, heartless, and completely merciless. Although they are fully aware of God's law and proper order, knowing that those who do all of these things deserve to die, yet they still go headlong into darkness, encouraging others to do the same and applauding them when they do. And you know what the Bible says? If you embrace that as a Christian, you believe that, here's what the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Let me read that one more time. Do not be deceived. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some of you do not have the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. It's what the Word of God says. If you were a Christian, the world is not going to embrace you if you are a true Christian. Here's what Jesus said. John 15, 18 and 20. If the world hates you, and it does, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you belong, listen to this, if you belong to the world would love you as its own and would treat you with affection. But you are not of the world, you no longer belong to it, but I have chosen you out of the world, and because of this, the world hates you. Remember and continue to remember that I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. So when the world attacks the church, who's behind it? When culture attacks the church, when government officials attack the church of Jesus Christ, who is behind? Talk to me, Covenant Love. I've taught you for 29 years this. Talk to me. Who is behind it? It's the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness, because they hate Jesus and they hate the church. It is time for us to wake up. We have the power of prayer. Instead of murmuring and complaining and walking around as if we have no say-so, and we have no power whatsoever, when God is in heaven saying, just ask me, talk to me, pray. We don't want to pray. We're so full of everything else, we don't have time to pray. I've got to know how many people like me on Instagram and like me on social media and did this and do that. I got to check all of that out. I don't have time to intercede in praying for our nation that the devil is now taking prisoner. And when Peter was put in prison in the book of Acts, in Acts the 12th chapter, and James was put to death, and Peter was put in prison, the Bible says the church went to pray. And they continued to pray and would not stop praying until there was a supernatural miracle of God that released Peter and let him go. We need a supernatural move of God today. And where does that come from? It comes from the church of Jesus Christ interceding, praying, using the sword of the Spirit, and advancing and not backing up. And walking in faith and not in fear of Pharaoh and fear of what Jesus has defeated for us. It's time that we wake up. Your kids are going back to school, the ones that are going back to school. Do you know how to pray over them? Or are you going to be in fear and worry? This is where we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. This is when we everything that is on television has basically been taken away for a period of time. Should have been where we were filling our hearts with the Word of God. I know in preaching like this, I'm only have 5 people show up next Sunday, but at least we will know. There is no excuse for us. You cannot stand before Jesus and say, well, you know, the culture was this and the culture was that. And, oh, gosh, did you hear everything that was on the news media and all that? Hey, you little baby. It is time to be mature. You are not a toddler anymore. You are a born-again, mature son and daughter of the living God. And it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to trust God with all of our heart. Doing what God has called us to do and advance His kingdom and be the people that He's called us to be. He didn't tell us to be like the culture. He told us to be conformed to the image of Christ. And the culture will see it. The culture right now is hurting. The culture is empty. The culture is scared. If they see us acting the same identical way, then there is no answer. But there is an answer. The answer is us being who God created us to be and having the boldness and the backbone and the guts to stand up and be a Christian and be a son and daughter of the living God. And loving one another and get out of this prejudice, racism mess. And loving one another and caring for one another, knowing that every one of us were created in the image of God. We may have different color skin, but our spirit man is created in the image of God. Our blood is still red. Shalomokobres e makatasa. Wake up, church! If we don't wake up, we're going to lose every right and every privilege that God has blessed us with. Just because we're operating by the fear of man, we're afraid to operate and live the way God called us to live. We're afraid to tell somebody, hey, man, I love Jesus with all my heart. We're afraid to tell people, you know what? I'm praying and I'm just believing God. The fear of man has become a snare in the church. Even in the pulpits. We want to be socially accepted by everybody. I don't want anybody not to like me. And what will people think about me? They may reject me. Of course they will. It's promised to you right here. Jesus promised that. Jesus promised that. Jesus promised that the world would hate you. People would reject you. Jesus promised that. You want to get saved now? That's what Jesus promised. He said it would happen to you. But there's a greater blessing. There is a greater blessing. There is a greater blessing. And we've got to get out of this celebrity church where we lift up men and women. Oh, that's prophetess. Oh, that's prophet. Oh, that's. Did you hear who's going to be over there? I'm going to go over there. Did you hear who's up there? Oh. Listen to me very carefully. When I stand before Jesus, he's not going to say, well done, good and faithful pastor. He's not going to say, well done, good and faithful apostle. He's not going to say, well done, good and faithful prophet or prophetess. He's not going to say, well done, good and faithful evangelist. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Servant. Because whatever title you have, you are a servant of the Most High God. And you are to serve people. And they are not to be used or abused by you or your title. You're to serve. You're to serve with all your heart. With all your might, to love God with all of your strength and all your soul. So if you're looking for a namby-pamby church that's not going to go forward, that's going to back up and try to maneuver itself where nobody will say anything about me or do anything, you're in the wrong church. And I guarantee you can find any place you want to go. This church, we are going forward. We are moving forward. We are advancing the kingdom of God. We will not back up. We will not give in. We will not give up. We will not compromise.
We are moving forward by the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God. We're going forward. We're advancing. We're going to take back what the devil has stolen. We're going to possess what God has promised us.
And we're not backing up. We are not compromising. We are moving forward. And we're moving forward in love. And we're going to move forward in loving. And I'm going to tell you right now, the world is going to see us loving one another. That means every race of person. They're going to see us loving one another, fellowshipping with one another, caring for one another, because this is a church that looks like heaven. And this is a church that acts like heaven. Not that we're perfect in any way, shape, or form. But yet at the same time, it is heaven that motivates us. Heaven that moves us. Heaven that guides us and directs us by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not looking for man's wisdom. I'm looking for Jesus' presence. That's what means more than anything else, is the presence of God. Can you say amen? Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? I want to give you an opportunity. If you've never received Jesus as the Lord of your life, I want to tell you right now, yes, the Bible is true. Yes, you are living in the last days. God sent Jesus to die on a cross, took your sin so that you could be a born-again believer, your sins could be forgiven, and that you could come into relationship with God. And then he puts you in a local church so your mind can be renewed to the things of God. Jesus died so that you could come back in relationship with the God who loves you, who cares about you. Believe me, he changed my life completely. I was a renegade, rogue, crazy, sinner. Jesus came into my life and changed my whole life. And he'll do the same thing for you if you truly believe and accept his salvation. Maybe you say today, Pastor, I knew the Lord one time, but I've gotten away from it. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't want to stay in that position. We are living in the last of the last days. Those words will ring in your ear if you are not living for Jesus. One day. You say, Pastor, are you trying to scare us? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, I am. Absolutely. Why are you trying to do that? Because the Bible says it is a fearful thing. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Every one of us in this room are viewing us. Every single one of us are going to stand before God one day. For some reason, that's out of our minds. The Bible even says we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It is not for us to have a tormenting fear. But I will tell you this, every time I read this word, I fear and tremble at his word. Because I take this very seriously. Because before long, I'm going to be standing before him and giving an account for my life. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood of Jesus that cleanses me from all sin. That's what motivates my actions in my life. His love for me, his care for me, but I never want to lose my fear of him. That's not a tormenting fear. That means an honor and respect. That I honor and respect him more than any human being or any organization or anything on this earth. I honor and respect him with all my life. So today, you want to receive Jesus, you want to be born again, you want to receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior, or you say, Pastor, my life is not right with God. My life has got sin in it, and I want to repent of my sin, and I want to get back to where I need to be in my life. I'm going to pray, and if that's you, all I want you to do is raise your hand right now all over this auditorium. Say, Pastor, that's me. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Pastor, I want to ask God to forgive me and repent of my sins. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Yes, thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, yes. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Before we pray, we're getting ready to pray. Yes, God bless you. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Anybody else before we pray? Anyone else? All right, we're going to pray. All of you that raise your hands, I want you to pray this with me. And those that you raise your hands viewing us live streaming, wherever you may be, I want you to pray this out loud with us all. We're going to pray together with you. Pray this with me. Father God, I thank you today for your love for me. I thank you for your mercy. And I thank you for your grace. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. He died on a cross, took my sin upon himself so that I could be free from the power of sin. I repent of all my sin and I ask your forgiveness in the name of Jesus. And today, I confess with all of my heart, Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for saving me and giving me a brand new life. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, let's stand up and give God praise. We welcome you into the family of God.